Tonight, we want us to focus on our thoughts upon God's word. And tonight, we want to take as our subject Jeremiah's desire, digesting, and delight for the word of God. And we pray as we begin another year of Bible study that this will be our thrill as we come to God's word to study it each time, and as we go through the doctrine of God every other Wednesday, and we learn those great truths about our God and the application of it to our hearts, that we will desire the word, we will digest the word, and we will delight in the word of God. So with that said, again, Jeremiah chapter 15 and the verse 16, I read God's precious word. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord, God of hosts. The days of Jeremiah were filled with the dreadful spread of apostasy and the defiant spirit of apathy. The Lord said through Jeremiah in verse 6, Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord, thou art gone backward. A message that Jeremiah was to deliver to the nation. As a result of their constant rebellion, their continual backsliding, and their going backwards, God would send the people of Judah into captivity. We learn in verse 7, the Lord said, Since they will not return from their ways. In other words, as Jeremiah continues to give the message, calling on the people to return to the Lord, they continue in their backslidden ways, and they continue in the ways of their idols. They will not return from their ways. They will not return from their sin. And while Jeremiah relished the word of God, the people rejected God's message, and they rejected God's messenger. Sin had a grip upon the hearts of the people, and rebellion against God was rampant. Jeremiah suffered much from the people. As you know, he was thrown into prison on different occasions. And he said in verse 15, I have suffered a rebuke. Jeremiah felt like giving up. He felt his ministry was a failure. You can imagine God's prophet giving the message of the Lord. You can imagine Jeremiah standing, calling on the people to leave their sin and to turn to the Lord. But the more Jeremiah preached, the more the people continued in their sin. And Jeremiah allowed the influence around him to discourage him. He allowed the situation, the people's responses, their reaction, and their continual rebellion, in a sense, to get at him, to eat at him, and it was breaking his heart. So much as he said in chapter 20, verse 9, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. That's where Jeremiah got to. He had felt like giving up. He was not going to speak a word again for the Lord. Jeremiah faithfully ministered, even though he was weary, even though he was discouraged. He preached, and he preached, and none responded in favor. He gave the Lord's message to the Lord's people, but they were stiff-necked, they were hardened, and they refused it. No matter what object even Jeremiah used by the Lord's guidance, the people continued in their rebellious state. You think of Jeremiah chapter 8, and you have that great picture of the balm in Gilead. And in Jeremiah chapter 8, there is that balsam tree that the people knew that there was a physician there. And whenever the people had a wound, an infection, a sore, they knew to go up to Gilead. They knew to go to that tree. And the great physician who was there, or that physician who was there, he would cut into that tree. And as the gum or the ooze would come from that tree, the ooze was then applied by the physician to the part, say the hand, wherever the sore was. And as it was rubbed on that sore, that wound, whatever it may be, the wound was healed of any disease, any sickness, and it brought healing. And so Jeremiah was saying to the people, if you knew you had a wound and you knew to go, why are you not going? And the spiritual point is this, you need cleansing from your sin. Why will you not go to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why will you not come and turn from your sin? There is a great physician. His blood cleanses from all sin. Why will you not return? Even again, in chapter 18, the potter and the clay. And you know how that clay is molded and shapen. And whenever that clay became mixed with dirt, the potter didn't throw the clay away. Rather, he remade it again into another vessel for use. And so Jeremiah was showing the Lord is the potter and the people are the clay, and the Lord is able to mold and shape and work in their lives. But again, they were marred by their sin, and again, they continued in their wicked ways. And so as Jeremiah continued to give the message of the Lord, the people continued to rebel. Jeremiah labored and didn't see any person. Some maybe claim maybe one person, but most cases, Jeremiah did not see one person come in response, in favor. He didn't see signs following, as we would say, after the preaching of the word. And in today's society, in today's church, people would question Jeremiah's call. People would question Jeremiah's ministry. Is he truly walking with God? Surely, if you were a man of God, called of God, the place would be packed. People would be falling down, turning from your sin. Is there something wrong with your style? Something wrong with your message? Is there something wrong with you? Jeremiah, are you sure you're the right man for the job? That's how we think in the flesh. We put all the emphasis on the man. If something's not right, it's because of the man. If things aren't going right, it's because of the man. And yet we read in chapter 1, God had called Jeremiah to the office. God ordained and appointed Jeremiah to the office of the prophet. And as Jeremiah preached, the people continued in their rebellion and in their backsliding way. And Jeremiah felt like giving up. Jeremiah felt brokenhearted. He felt discouraged. And maybe there's one here tonight. That's how you feel. Discouraged, brokenhearted. As you tell friends, you tell family about the gospel. You tell sons, daughters, mums, dads, family members about their need of the Savior. And they refuse. Maybe that door, as you give the leaflet out to people on the doors, that door gets slammed that little bit harder. Maybe that track is given back a little bit more aggressive. Maybe the response that you get is a bit more of aggravation. And you feel like giving up. You feel like, what is the point? People say you're just wasting your time. But God has not called us to, in a sense, give an account for other people's response. God has called us, God's called you to be faithful. And that's what God had called Jeremiah to do, to be faithful and to give his word. It was only when Jeremiah turned again to the word of God, was his mind set at rest, was his mind revived, was his mind stirred again. He was refreshed as he got a word from God. He was energized to keep on pressing on. And therefore, child of God tonight, what will keep you pressing on? What will keep you going on through hard times, difficult times, heartbroken times, is the word of God. This is God's inspired word. This is God's very breath. Therefore, what will keep you going on is a word from God day by day. Again, Psalm 119, verse 25, the psalmist prayed, quicken thou me according to thy word. And that word quicken, as you know, is the word meaning revive. In other words, revive me, quicken me, cause me to live again by thy word. Right now I'm stuck. Right now I'm in a mess. Right now things aren't going well. Lord, revive me, quicken me, breathe upon me, stir me again by the word of God, because nothing else will stir you by the word of God. Oh yes, things may get you by for 5 minutes. Things may get you by in a quick temporary fashion, but nothing will keep you going on, and nothing will revive you other than the word of God. Why? Because the word of God centers upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the message and the messenger of the everlasting covenant of grace. When Jeremiah got the word of God, read the word of God, depended upon the word, it was then he could say, I am called by thy name. Literally, thy name hath been called upon me. He was energized, revived again to continue on and to speak a word from the Lord. And therefore, believer, tonight, there are many discouragements in the work of God. Discouragement and outreach, and also adding our own weakness. Plans maybe are not going as we hoped. We feel our own failures. We're so downcast. But it's only when we come again to the word of God. It's only again when we open up the scriptures of truth is our soul revived and energized and enabled to press on again. And that's why we come tonight to Jeremiah's desire, his digesting, and his delight for the word of God. Notice three simple thoughts. First of all, Jeremiah's desire for the word of God. Verse 15. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. We must ask, what is it meant by Jeremiah finding the word? The word found means desire. It refers to an earnest search. It is searching for something with the intention, the purpose of finding what is looked for. In other words, it's not to give up until what you've searched for is found. So for instance, you may have lost your car keys, you may have lost your phone, you may have lost something that you need to find. And therefore, you keep searching until you find it. And that's what we have here. Thy words were found. Jeremiah desired a word from God, and he found comfort in the word of God. This was a situation Jeremiah needed a word from God. And you've been there before. Times where you need a word from God. Times where you've got before God and you've just poured your heart before the Lord and you've said, Lord, I need a word from you. This situation, this difficulty, this decision, whatever the circumstance may be, Lord, I need a word from you. And you keep reading and you keep praying and you keep reading and you keep praying until you have that word from the Lord. Jeremiah came to God's word with that desire to search a word from the Lord. Again, it's interesting, isn't it? You read throughout this prophecy, little phrases, the word of the Lord said unto me. The word of the Lord came the second time. The word that came to Jeremiah. That is the word of the Lord. That's God speaking to Jeremiah. What he planned to do, what he wanted Jeremiah to do when Jeremiah at times was discouraged, because the Lord would send the people into captivity. Jeremiah couldn't understand why. And then again, remember when God told Jeremiah to buy a field, Jeremiah couldn't understand, well, why do you want me to buy a field? The Babylonians are coming. The place is going to be destroyed. And you want me to buy this field? Ah, Jeremiah, because I have a purpose for my people, that I will bring them back again to the land and I will rebuild them. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Why is that? Because as you learn, the word Lord, as we've read in verse 16 and in other passages, is the name Jehovah. And again, we've been studying in the doctrine of God on Wednesday nights. We've gone through the name of Jehovah, and we'll go through again the titles in a number of weeks' time. But the title Jehovah signifies the covenant-keeping God. God has revealed himself as one who does not change. I am Jehovah who changes not. I do not change. And therefore, while your situation changes day by day, while your circumstances change day by day, whether that's your health, whether that's your job situation, whether that's your financial situation, whatever situation it may be, you have a word from God for each day because he does not change. He is able to meet the need. And so in Jeremiah, every time he's discouraged, God has a word for him. When he's in prison, God has a word for him. When he doesn't know the next step, God has a word for him. When he doesn't understand why God's doing what he's doing, and we covered that, didn't we, in the incomprehensibility of God, we will never, ever perfectly understand how God works in every single detail because we are finite. We are limited. But he is infinite. But what we do understand is what God has given us in his word. And what God wants you to understand is what he's revealed in his word. I do all things well. My way is perfect. All things work together for good to them who love me and are the called according to my purpose. He works according to the counsel of his own will. Those are things that we do get. We do understand. I don't get it, but I do know God's in control. And so that's what the Lord said unto me. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the second time. The word that came to Jeremiah. God had a word for him every time. And therefore, God has a word for you, dearly beloved, every single day. Whatever your situation is, there's a word for you. We must come, therefore, to God's word, seeking to find a word from God. This book, this Bible, it's not just any book. It's not just a decoration. It's not just to be brought home on Sunday and put in the shelf until next week. This is God's precious word. It ought to be read day by day. We ought to come to God's word, not just with a quick... Then the Lord said to Moses, okay, that's me done for the day. No, spend time searching, praying, Lord, speak to me today. Because God's word is a living word and there's a message for you. J.C. Ryle said this, we must read our Bibles like men digging for treasure. Because the Bible is worth, the Bible is value, the Bible's precious. It's God's word. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart. When you come to God's word day by day with an earnest search to find a word from God, you will meet the Lord and he will meet with you. Again, Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light onto my path. Not my thoughts, not my own imaginations, not what I think. Thy word is a lamp onto my feet and a light onto my path. That's why the Lord, whenever he taught the Jews and the unbelievers of his day, he always challenged them. Again, John 5, verse 39, search the scriptures, for they are they which testify of me. And that word testify means to bear witness. And the strength of the word search means ye search. Search yourself. Search for yourself the scriptures. Because they witness me. They testify of me. The whole point is this. When you read your Bible, the Bible will always testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will never lead you contrary to the Word. And therefore, the Spirit's ministry is to lead you as a child of God to the Lord in Scripture. The Holy Spirit will never guide you away from the Word of God. Rather, in the Word of God, leading you to the Savior. Jeremiah, thy words were found. I wonder, is there one today in a sense, who's lost the vision for the Word of God? Is there one today whose Bible is lost in the home? You need to find it again. You need to have that desire for the Word of God again. I remember preaching one time on the Bible, and I'm not looking for any confessions tonight, certainly not, but a man felt compelled to come after and say to me, "Thank you for the message. I've not read my Bible all week." And therefore, the point is this. Find God's Word day by day. Treat every day, in a sense, following a treasure map, searching for the Word of God. Don't let a day go by when you have not found the Word of God. Read God's Word day by day. But notice secondly, Jeremiah's digesting of the Word of God. "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." The language employed here is once again graphic and very descriptive. What does it mean to eat the Word of God? Are we to take our Bibles and put it in our mouth? Are we to rip the pages out to eat it up and to spit it out or swallow it? No, I believe it means taking the Word of God, feeding upon it, as in meditating, prayerfully considering, digesting, going over and over and over again the Word of God. Not just reading quickly and bypassing on. Not reading three chapters and saying, "You know what, I'm a spiritual giant, I've read three chapters today." Because you know what usually happens when you do that? And you come to someone and you test them. "I've read three chapters today, hallelujah." What did you learn? "Well, I've read three chapters." That's pretty good. "Well, but what have you learned? What was the chapters about?" "Well, it was about the Bible." "Well, that's very good." And they haven't got a clue. Why? Because it just quickly went through. It's the same thing when people, they say, "Oh, that message was powerful, brilliant. God's servant was on form today." "Well, what was his text?" Well, it was in the Bible. "Oh, what did he preach?" "It was very encouraging, whatever it was." And that's the point. Here, it's talking about getting the Word of God, going over and over and over. "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." It's meditating upon the Word. And then how that Word applies to your heart. If you like, it's chewing over the Word. Now, I don't know about you, and I don't know, I can't remember the amount of time. I'm a fast eater. I used to work for a fella that whenever he came to pick you up for work, you didn't have much time. When you're working for him, you had to eat everything very, very quickly. You had to eat your lunch quickly because such was the demand of customers coming. Sometimes in the morning, it'd say, "I'll pick you up at 5 o'clock and come maybe 4:30. And so you were picking up. And maybe that's the way I've always been. I always eat my food. My mum tells me, "You need to slow down. You're going to choke." And someone has said, maybe you know it yourself, that someone says, when you eat your food, I think you're supposed to spend time and eat your food very, very slowly. You keep chewing. Someone said, I can't remember what it is, but apparently there is a particular time, someone said, whatever that time is, that you are the chew over the food to get the taste of it, and then you don't feel as hungry. Because if you eat too fast, then you still feel more hungry after. But if you eat slow, then you don't feel as hungry. And the whole point is this. When it comes to the Bible, we are to take time. We're not to rush, but we're to take time chewing and to nourish, feasting, meditating on the Word and apply it to our hearts. But we cannot expect to grow in grace and have a closer walk with God if we do not read the Bible. Again, we covered this, Bible Study 101. We cannot grow in grace if we do not read the Bible. It all works together, reading and praying and reading. If we don't apply the spiritual food, the nourishment, which is in God's Word to our lives, then we will never feel the benefit. You think of the cows in the field. They will chew over its chud. The cow, having eaten the grass, I'm told, can take up to 8 hours in order to fully digest that food. The smaller bits are of the broken down food, which is called the chud, is then eaten and digested again and again and again in order for that food to be a benefit. And the whole point is this, is when we take God's word, we are to chew over the word of God, meditate over the word of God, go over and over and over again. Maybe take a verse to memorize, and you go over that verse again and again and again. You think about that verse, you pray over that verse, you meditate upon that verse, you take a passage, whatever it may be. It's getting in the word of God and getting the word of God in you. Again, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And you remember the whole point there. Moses was dead. Joshua would now arise by the Lord's command and lead the people on. And again, taking over Moses, leading on from Moses, you can imagine Joshua's fear. But the Lord came again with a word at the right time for Joshua. I am with thee. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And how did God direct him to have a successful ministry? Meditate. Go over and over and over upon the word in the morning and in the evening. Spend time in the word and you'll have good success. Not as success in the Christian life. It is living by the word of God. Again, Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Psalm 19, verse 10. Thy words are more to be desired than gold, yea, much more than fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Charles Spurgeon said this to his congregation, thinking of nature. The butterflies flit over the garden and nothing comes from their flitting. And what he means, if you ever see a butterfly, they just go from place really to place. But look at the bees, how they drive into the bells of the flowers and come forth with their thighs laden with pollen and filled with the sweetest honey for their hives. This is the way to read your Bible. Get into the flowers of Scripture. Plunge into the inward meaning and suck out that secret sweetness which the Lord hath put there for your spiritual nourishment. Again, the same lesson. Take time in the Word of God. Meditate, go over and go over. Because the Bible, day by day, there is a word for you. Again, remember the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 16. They had to gather manna day by day. Fresh supply was given to them. They were to take what was given that day and to use it. They were not to keep it for the next day because God would give them a fresh supply every single day. But as we do, we try to find another way around and we disobey. And so verse 20 of Exodus 16, they decided to keep it another day. And it bred, they kept double that day and it bred worms and it stank. God had given them manna, promised them manna for every single day. And so the point is this. We cannot depend upon yesterday's blessings. We need a word from God day by day. We need fresh bread day by day. And God gives us a word day by day. You're not to read God's word one day and then leave it for the rest of the week. Rather, day by day, reading God's word. Again, someone has said, the Bible is bread for daily use, not cake for special occasions. Maybe there's one today. You've lost your taste for the word of God. Well, I pray that you come to the word of God and you read certain passages. Even think of Matthew chapter 26, right through chapter 28. You read of the sufferings of Christ, the death of Christ. Such will warm your heart, digesting the word of God. So Jeremiah, his desire in the word of God, thy words were found. Jeremiah's digesting in the word of God, thy words were found and I did eat them. And then Jeremiah's delight in the word of God, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Notice there the plural. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word, that's singular now, was unto me the joy and rejoicing. In other words, all of God's word is our joy, not just some words. Every part of God's word thrills our heart because it's God's word. But you'll understand when I say this, there are times, there is a particular word to our heart, to your heart. And that particular word thrills you. It causes you joy. It causes you that hope that you, that causes you to give that hope that you have in the Lord. It's a word in season to your heart. It gives you joy. It gives you rejoicing. In a sense, it was a word that you needed at that particular time. And so while we rejoice every day, there is a word from God for you. The word joy means to leap for joy. The illustration is used of a horse that leaps, it jumps up. And that's the whole point. Thy word was unto me the joy. It caused me to leap with joy. It sprung me back to life. Again, there's that thought of revival, as we thought at the start of the message. Thy word was unto me joy. It's a spring in my step. It got me going again. And the rejoicing, that word rejoicing is the word meaning gladness. It is the word meaning delight, used in Psalm 19 verse 10. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing or delighting the heart. And so God's word rejoices the heart. God's word delights in the heart. What a word we have from God. A word that gives us joy. A word that is our joy. A word that puts a spring in our step when we're downcast, we're brokenhearted, we feel like giving up. God's word, when we read it, when we get into it, when we meditate upon it, when we think about it, when we have our mind filled with it, it gives us joy. It's a spring in our step. It keeps us going. You hear the expression, maybe it's a worldly expression, I don't know. People in the morning, first thing they say, or they get in and say, I need my coffee. I haven't had my coffee yet. I need a coffee to get me going and all the rest. Well, in a sense, we're coming to God's word. God's word is your joy. God's word is what gets you going. God's word is what you need. Nothing will compare to God's word. It's your joy. It's your revival of soul. It's your delight. It's your gladness. Why is that? Because the Bible centers upon the Lord, who he is and all he has done. That's Jeremiah. He was preaching a wonderful Savior, a covenant-keeping God, one who keeps his promises, one who would bring the people back and restore them. Again, you remember in Luke chapter 24, there were two sad disciples, two disciples who felt like giving up. The events of the weekend with the Savior dying, his sufferings, his resurrection, all the rest, broke their heart. In a sense, they fully didn't grasp the whole lessons that Christ had been teaching them for all these years. And verse 32 of Luke 24, as the Lord met with them, and as the Lord spoke to them and said, O fools, slow of heart to believe. I was with you. I taught you what would happen. And then after they learned about his sufferings, they said, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? That's what burned their heart. That was the joy and the rejoicing, the gladness, the delight. That's what got them going again. It was the message of the Word of God. It was Christ telling them, what I came to do, I died for your sin and I rose again. These things had to happen in order for me to enter into glory. If I didn't die, I could not go into glory. But the very fact that I died and I risen again shows that my work on the cross was accomplished and it was accepted by the Father. And so that's what stirred their heart. And that's what stirs our heart when we come to the Word of God, when we stand upon the promises, because we learn and we read of the one who loved us and gave himself for us, the one who went all the way to the cross of Calvary to bear our sin and our shame, to learn all our punishment was laid on him, and he accomplished redemption. And then that redemption was applied to your heart. And the moment you believed in Christ, you were saved from all sin and for all eternity. You entered into a saving relationship, a union with Christ, a marriage for all eternity, that he will never divorce you. He will never cast you away. Why? It goes back to who he is, Jehovah. He cannot change. Therefore, none of his people can never perish. And he gives on to his people eternal life. They shall never perish. They shall never be condemned. And so Paul said to the church at Rome, in Romans 5, verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy. That's the same word, joy. What gets us going? What thrills our hearts? Joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The atonement, the plan of redemption, that is the source and the spring of all our joy and rejoicing and delight, because it's all found in the Word. Anything that God wants to say to you about, it will not be by hallucinations, it will not be by dreams, it will not be by flickering of lights trying to get you to do something. If it is, you need to ring up your electrician and get him out and sort something before the house goes on fire. God wants to say something to you. He will say it through his Word. Jeremiah, the desire in the Word of God, his digesting of the Word of God, and his delight in the Word of God. And I pray as we go through another year of Bible study and go through the doctrine of God, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit and other things, each time we come, we don't come just for a theological head knowledge, but we come also to have that truth applied to our heart and our life. And may we desire each week to know more of the Lord. May we digest over the truth that God has revealed of himself in his Word, and may we delight in it for his honour and for his glory. May the Lord write his Word upon our heart for his name's sake. Amen.